Good morning. It's 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm Gene Purcell. I'll be here for Joy Cardine today and tomorrow. It is not exactly news that opposition to the war in Iraq is growing, and it is no secret that members of Congress, particularly Democratic members of Congress, have become more vocal recently in their opposition to the war. Now, Wisconsin Senator Russ Feingold has introduced a piece of legislation that is sure to cause discussion. But whether it's a piece of legislation that will pass is another issue altogether. Feingold has argued that Congress has the constitutional authority and the moral responsibility to end U.S. involvement in Iraq, and he calls Democratic leaders timid on the issue. His legislation, titled the Iraq Redeployment Act of 2007, exercises what he calls the power of the purse, essentially ending funding for continued operations in Iraq 6 months after the legislation is enacted. We'll be talking about Feingold's legislation this hour and other similar pieces of legislation like it with our guest. He is Joe Greco, a professor of political science at Duke University. What do you think about Feingold's proposal? No doubt you have been thinking about the war a lot. Well, does Feingold's proposal make sense, or does it really leave U.S. forces and U.S. foreign policy in the lurch? Are Democratic leaders really timid, or is it really as simple as the president being the decider, and Congress making sure that U.S. forces have the support they need to finish the job? Give us a call with your questions and comments. The toll-free number is 800-642-1234, or if you're calling from Madison, you can join us at 263-1890. As always, your email comments are welcome, too, at talk@WPR.org. Joe Greco, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good morning, Gene. Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make sure that you'd heard about the story this morning regarding Democrat Carl Levin and John Warner's proposal.
Yes, I have. I've been reading that, as I'm sure many of your listeners have been, in connection to either internet reading or perhaps their daily newspapers. This, I think, is an important development.
All right, let me just read the AP copy, and then we'll sort of start out with that and then see where the conversation takes us.
Yes.
A Senate Democratic leader says a resolution opposing President Bush's plan to send more troops to Iraq now stands a better chance of passage. Democrat Carl Levin and Republican John Warner has joined forces on a new compromise resolution that opposes the buildup while promising to keep funding for troops intact. Well, let's start with that, Joe Greco. You've called it an important new development. Why do you say that?
Well, these, I think, are two very, very senior, as you know, these are two very senior senators.
Mm-hmm.
They have enormous experience on the Senate Armed Services Committee. I think they represent sort of the moderate conservative view in the Republican, and Carl Levin would be more in the moderate liberal camp. I think they can pull in an awful lot of votes. Harry Reid seemed to, did indicate that he is going to put that forward, their co-sponsored non-binding resolution, ahead of the earlier resolution authored by Joe Biden and Senator Hagel. So if it looks to me like this is going to be the resolution that the Senate Democratic leadership rallies behind, everything now rests on the Senate Republicans, the Senate moderate Republicans. But it could be, I think, yesterday it looked like there were so many resolutions proliferating that it would not be possible to get 60 votes to close debate. Today, I think these developments, in fact, the New York Times reporting this morning was suggesting that John Warner, this was a sign of his diminishing influence, that he could not get a single resolution to serve as a focal point. However, I think developments in the last 12 hours have put Warner right back smack in the middle of the debate on what to do about Iraq.
So while the New York Times was writing, he was working, huh?
Well, this often happens with their delayed publishing, and I do think this is an example of Warner and Levin making it clear that they are still central figures in national security debates in the Senate.
I want to ask, I don't remember how many proposals there were, like seven or eight or something like that.
That's correct.
And they sort of, you know, they covered the waterfront in terms of their breadth, I guess. But was there an evolution in those proposals as they came out, or were they just sort of coming out from all over the place?
Well, the Warner resolution is a strong example of a resolution that did experience evolution. I think, did feel, as of a couple days ago, it did look as though his resolution was not going to garner sufficient Democratic support, together with keeping some Republicans on his side, to reach a 60-vote required minimum to close debate and actually to vote on the substance of the resolution. That, for that reason, he adjusted and changed language 2 points in his resolution. To appeal to Senator Levin more on the to indicate that a bit more critical of the president, and at the same time, he put in some language to appeal to make it clear that no cutoff of funding was envisioned at this time, to appeal to the senator from New Hampshire, Mr. Judd. So I would say that the Warner resolution is an example of an evolutionary part of the process of politics and debate and negotiation and compromise to bring about one of these resolutions.
Joe Greco is our guest this hour on the Ideas Network. He is a professor of political science at Duke University, and we began the hour talking about a resolution from U.S. Senator Russ Feingold calling for an end to the war, calling for Congress to cut off the purse strings, essentially, for the war. And we've sort of morphed into sort of events that are developing almost as we speak right now. We're going to continue the discussion with your phone calls at 800-642-1234. In Madison, you can join us at 263-1890. Join us by email if you'd like as well. That address is talk@wpr.org. I'm Gene Purcell. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The time is 18 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm filling in for Joy Cardine today. Coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon, At Issue with Ben Marins. When a marriage ends, it's not just couples and their children who are hurt. After 5, Ben Marin's guest offers advice for the parents of adult children who divorce. That's At Issue with Ben Marins after 5 this afternoon here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. During the 7 o'clock hour this morning, we're talking about the war in Iraq and legislation working its way through Congress to end the war, or end U.S. involvement in it, I guess I should say. Our guest is Joe Greco, a professor of political science at Duke University, and we've been talking about the latest resolution between Democrat Carl Levin and Republican John Warner that is in the news this morning. We began the hour, though, talking about U.S. Senator Russ Feingold's proposal to cut off funding for the war 6 months after his legislation would be enacted. And Joe Greco, I want to return to that because that's sort of what prompted this whole hour.
Yes.
Was Russ Feingold's legislation. Let's talk about that for a second. His was really took a stand, I guess you could say that. But at the same time, what kind of support would that stance have garnered?
Well, I'd say three things about Senator Feingold's proposal, which is a funding cutoff, and mm-hmm. that is the only resolution at this time that envisions that. For example, even Senator Obama's proposal calls for a withdrawal, but no cutoff of funding. But a few things to be said about that. Number one, I don't think that it would garner much support today. Number two, however, 6 months from now, if the escalation occurs and let's say 6 to 8 months from now, because the top generals such as General Petraeus and General Casey have said that by, let's say, July, August, September, it will be clear whether the program worked, whether the escalation worked, Feingold's position will become much more mainstream if in 6 to 8 months it does not appear that the escalation worked. And three, I would just say that he was on very solid constitutional grounds. I'm only an average. I have no more than the New York Times daily reading level of knowledge of constitutional matters. But from what I understand, based on some hearings held by Senator Specter, in the last few days in response to some comments by the president. There's no doubt that Senator Feingold is on solid constitutional grounds when he says that the Congress does have the right and obligation to participate as co-equal in the making of war, especially through the purse strings.
And as part of his legislation, he had all sorts of examples on that. He goes back and cites Cambodia, Vietnam, Somalia, Bosnia, places like that where Congress has stepped in.
Yes, those are key examples. And even Justice Scalia, Senator Specter, highlighted some a part of an opinion written in recent years by Justice Scalia, who clearly states that the president, the Congress, is a co-equal partner, and in recent decades has underutilized its constitutional authorities to the detriment of the relationship between the two branches. So it's a very that's a pretty wide range of opinions, going from Senator Feingold to Senator Specter to Associate Justice Scalia, but. All three are agreed that the Congress does have a key role, especially on the purse strings issue.
We'd like listeners to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call us toll-free, it is 800-642-1234. If you're calling for Madison, it is 263-1890. Steve is with us in Musser Lake. And good morning, Steve.
Well, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, in regards to Russ Feingold's resolution or attempt to pass a resolution, I agree with your guess that it probably doesn't stand much of a chance, although I think it's a good resolution, except for the six-month delay. I served in Vietnam in the Marine Corps, and I got to tell you, most of the soldiers and Marines are really don't want to stay another day in Iraq, even though they interview some that that say differently. It's that's for the cameras. Anybody that's over there risking their life would be glad to leave in the next couple hours. In the 6 months, how many more of our troops need to be killed, and for what reason? I still haven't heard a real clear statement on why it is we're there. Obviously, the weapons of mass destruction are not there, so I'm not clear why we're still there or why we need to be there. But I guess going back to this thing about the Democrats so far being kind of timid with these non-binding resolutions, I'm wondering if maybe your guest can comment on it. Might that be because they're afraid the Republicans can then turn around in the next election and say, well, if the Democrats hadn't passed a binding resolution to get us out of Iraq, we would have stayed there and we would have won? Maybe they could kind of turn the tables of the whole debacle and put it on the Democrats, and that's why they're afraid to be any more stronger in their language and in their policies.
Well,
I'll take the comments off the air.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Let's ask Joe Greco what he thinks about that. Senator Feingold, I think he accused Democrats of timidity, Democratic leaders. That was the term he used. And what do you think about that? It seems as though they are walking kind of a fine political line here.
Yes, I agree with with Steve's comment that the Democrats do see themselves correctly as being presented with the possibility of a trap, that is to say, precisely as he suggested, a cutoff today could, followed by a debacle or a total breakdown of order and the outbreak of civil war, could play into the hands of the Republicans, who could say, who lost Iraq? Well, it wasn't us, it was the Democrats with the cutoff. Therefore, and for that reason, at this time, I think the Democrats are willing to, in a sense, they see that it would be hard to do a cutoff at this time. There isn't decisive evidence that the escalation would not work. At the same time, there's a lot of pessimism that it will work, and the Democrats, I think, feel they have to deliver something to the constituents who voted for them in November. So today they'll vote the non-binding resolution. In 6 months, Feingold's position may become much closer to the mainstream Democratic view, namely, and I think that he, when people like John Warner and other Republicans are saying the next 6 months and that's it, we're going to do a fundamental reevaluation, I think in 6 months we may see the Feingold position become the sensible position, the safe position, both for Democrats and Republicans, both groups of which do not want to probably go into the 2008 election with Iraq hanging around their necks. So I think that your caller had a very perceptive and correct political analysis of why the first step will be a non-binding resolution.
In terms of political risk for Senator Feingold, he announced a while ago that he will not be running for president in 2008. He has a reputation as a maverick, even within Wisconsin. How could this shape up badly for him, or could it?
I don't know enough about Wisconsin politics to speak with confidence to Senator Feingold's political prospects. Your producer mentioned to me yesterday that he won his last election by something like with something in excess of 80% of the vote.
Yeah, handily would be a nice way to put it.
So I don't think that he that this position, from his viewpoint, will poses a risk. It solidifies his base. Your producer told me that the state is sort of 50-50 on pretty strong progressive side of the fence, and then 50% less so. Well, when you start with 50% to your, you know, sort of, so to speak, where you're quite close to the views of that 50%, you don't have to do much to get enough votes to carry the day. So from what little I know, it looks like this is a safe move by Senator Feingold. That would not be true, for example, for Senator Webb, the new senator in Virginia, who I think has a much more has to be much more cautious in his first term.
We've got a break coming up, but before that, let's take a quick call from Cheryl in Green Bay. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, good morning. I think that this doesn't damage Russ Feingold at all. We know he's a maverick. He voted against the Patriot Act. He's the only one who stood up and did it. We expect Russ Feingold to stand up and shake things up here in Wisconsin. At least that's been my interpretation of him. I realize the political realities of this. I'm a political scientist myself. But constitutionally, this is the only route that Congress has. Senator Feingold's position on the cutting off the purse strings, I think 6 months is too aggressive. I would be more in favor of, and I've said this for months, that writing something into the budget that says, all right, we're going to give you 6 months or 9 months of full funding. After 6 months, we want a review in here. And then we're going to start pulling back the purse strings if we're not seeing anything change. The reality is this president will not draw down these troops. He is not going to. We're there until somebody else steps up to get us out. My incredible frustration with this resolution that all this wrangling is going on to get passed is that it's, you know, the political, the politics and, you know, sausage analogy. And it's in my opinion, why the rest of the world looks at us and laughs. We have 70% of the American people are in opposition to this war. It just turned an election, and the best Congress is going to do is hand us a, oh, and by the way, the grass is green.
Okay, Cheryl, and I hate to cut you off, but we've got to go to a break here, and we'll follow up with your points with our guest after a look at the news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm filling in for Joy Cardine this morning. We're talking about the war in Iraq and U.S. involvement on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 25 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine today. Our guest this hour is Joe Greco, a professor of political science at Duke University, and we've been discussing a number of resolutions designed to end U.S. involvement in the war in Iraq. We began the hour talking about U.S. Senator Russ Feingold's resolution, binding resolution, by the way, that would end funding for the war after about 6 months. And we also talked about some developments this morning, specifically a compromise from Democrat Carl Levin and Republican John Warner, who have joined forces on a resolution that opposes the buildup while promising to keep funding for troops intact. We're looking for your phone calls, your comments at 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number in Madison 263 1-800-259-1890. And Dan Greco, before the news break, we were heard from Cheryl in Green Bay, I think it was.
Yes.
And she was taking a slightly more nuance. She liked, first of all, the Feingold proposal, the idea of cutting off funding, putting some definite goals there. But she took a slightly more nuanced approach and thought 6 months was too aggressive. And she was just getting to the part of her call where she was focusing on that 70% opposition to the war among the members of the American public, and felt that Senator Feingold's resolution really sort of added weight to that and really was responsive to that those numbers.
Yes, I mean, I think she raises a very important point, namely the friction, so to speak, between changes in public opinion and the policy of a democratic state like the United States. There is this lag, so to speak, between changes in public preferences and actual state policy. And it has to do with the Senate, and it has to do with the fact that the Senate has rules that can make it hard for the majority to bring forward its preferred approach to, on some policy matter, and I'm referring to filibusters and the need for 60 votes to break such filibusters. The situation now in the Senate is that, and it also has to do with the fact that they senators are elected on staggered 2 6-year terms. Not all senators come up for election at the same time, so there are senators who are in office today that came into office under different circumstances regarding public opinion on the war. The requirement is for, there are only 51 Democrats I was reading today in the Senate. One, Senator Lieberman, can't be counted on for a kind of Feingold law that is being discussed, or something like, for example, Senator Obama's resolution, which would have this sort of six months leeway, then do a check if some benchmarks are not met, and a cutoff, then a requirement for redeployment out of Baghdad at the very least. The Democrats need something like 10, perhaps 11 Republicans to break a filibuster, and that is what's driving this more, from the viewpoint of Cheryl, and a more cautious approach on the part of the Senate.
It's interesting to watch the Senate in action, because it is very different from the House, and the procedures are much different and much more slow, I guess, for lack of a better term. But it is interesting to note that all of a sudden, there wasn't a lot of action for a long time. The president announced his plans to increase the cert number of surge troops. And then all of a sudden, you've got resolution after resolution after resolution. And it does sort of beg the question, is this just, senators playing for politics, or are these real resolutions they're putting out there?
Well, I think the senators are acting out of a concern for their future political standing with their home states. I cannot imagine that a senator, and for many of the senators, they're thinking about potential or actual runs for the presidency. So I'm afraid to put, there's no doubt the political calculus is being made. But number two, I do think that that several of these senators are thinking in terms of a non-binding resolution as the first step in a process of steps that could lead to a cutoff of funding. I suspect that Cheryl's right. The president will never, of his own volition, withdraw from Iraq. George Bush doesn't have any reason at this point to do anything except trying to stay the course, hoping that something will break his way. What's going to be needed is a sense, I think the Democrats, of course, are going to go in the opposite direction. That leaves maybe 15, what really then becomes the pivot for American policy will be these 10 to 15 Republican senators, and it's a heavy burden to walk away from the president from your own party. So that's why I think it is going to be a slow process. But I suspect that come August or September, we will see a stronger type of resolution than we're seeing today.
Had an email from Robert from Brownsville. He writes that he supports U.S. Senator Russ Feingold's resolution, says the whole election was about people being against the war, and says the president is just ignoring the people. Let's move on to East Troy right now, and Rick joins us on the air. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. I would like to address my comments with all due respect to the professor. The discussion seems to be centering on the political side of it, and that's mm-hmm. what he was called in this morning to talk about. I think we need to put a face on this war. My wife works for a temporary agency that goes and conducts medical and dental exams on troops that are going overseas, some of them for the second and third time. And when she looks into the faces of some of these kids that are 18, 19 years old as our son, she knows that some of the records that she's keeping are to identify them when they come back in a body bag or in a coffin. And I just get a little frustrated, actually a lot frustrated, when policymakers hem and haw and try to come up with who's better than who and my proposal's better than your proposal, and let's wait another 6 months. And at the current rate, that means that approximately another 600 of our young Americans are going to be dead coming home. And, oops, I guess that didn't work, really, really infuriates me. And I understand that the professor's on for a political comment, but that's the thing that bothers me the most about this whole debacle.
Thanks for the call, Rick. Appreciate that. Joe Greco, there you have someone calling in trying to put a human face to this political discussion. And it is difficult, though, to separate those faces out from this discussion. Now, we're talking about resolutions here, but there's no doubt that there are people on the other end of those.
Yes, and I appreciate the caller's strong commentary. I think for all of us who are in these debates, in these conversations, perhaps not the very first moment, but not two or three minutes into the thinking about this matter, are the faces of American service personnel who are on the line today. And for my part, for example, I supported the initiation of the war. I became concerned pretty quickly about the execution of the occupation, and in the end came to, it was this last escalation that caused me to switch from support to opposition, in part because I don't think that the escalation will bring about peace. It will put off the day of reckoning among the different factions in the country, but it will entail more dead American personnel, which I could not support. So I understand the frustration and the sentiments that expressed by the caller.
800-642-1234 is the toll-free number if you'd like to join in the conversation. If you're calling from Madison, it is 263-1890. Professor, we've got a break here, and this will be kind of a long question, so you can start to answer it, and then I'll have to cut you off at some point.
Yes.
But as you do the math, even on Senator Feingold's resolution, if it were to pass today, 6 months down the road, puts us, you know, somewhere late summer 2007, these other proposals really would push that date way out, and all of a sudden it's 2008, and we've got a presidential election. So basically, it's hard to avoid having the next president inherit this.
Well, that is a very key issue, and will be good to talk about when we do come back. I think the one thing that the Senate, the Democratic and Republican senators probably agree on is they don't want whoever is going to be the next president to be faced with this problem. That's why I think some sort of resolution, some sort of disposition of the war is going to occur before the end of the Bush administration.
All right, so we've got something to talk about after the break. We'd like your phone calls as well, 800-642-1234. If you're calling from Madison, it is 263-1890. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm filling in for Joy Cardine this morning, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 8, I'll be discussing democracy in America with my guest, what's healthy, what's not, and how to improve it. I'll be talking with Kevin O'Leary, the author of the book Saving Democracy, A Plan for Real Representation in America. That's coming up after 8 o'clock here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, our guest is Joe Greco, a professor of political science at Duke University, and we've been talking for the past 47 minutes or so about a number of proposals, a number of resolutions in the U.S. Senate to end U.S. involvement in the war in Iraq. Before the break, Joe Greco, I believe the phrase you used was, you'll see the disposition of the war end, or you see the disposition of the war before the end of the Bush administration. Did I catch that right?
Yes, I do want to be careful.
Sure, I understand.
No American troops will be fully withdrawn, but I do think I think it's pretty clear from, say, in fact, Hillary Clinton said she was absolutely appalled at the prospect that the war would still be going on when the next president comes into office, and I'm sure she's thinking of herself. One of the reasons I am opposed to the escalation is because I worry that part of the calculation of the Bush administration is to undertake the escalation in order to buy sufficient time to have the semblance of stability in Iraq long enough that they can get out of office, and then if it falls apart, they can say, see, it wasn't our fault, it was our successor's fault. I would think someone like former mayor Giuliani or Senator McCain on the Republican side would also not want to come into office with that problem. So I think there's a lot of, I would think that among a big part of the U.S. Senate and those at the very top of the American political pyramid, so to speak, there's probably a growing sense that this war has to be brought to an end one way or another before the next administration, or at least some sort of trajectory has to be established, some sort of path, some sort of glide path by which it's pretty well set that the U.S. is going to be getting out of Iraq. The only group I would imagine that doesn't think in those terms would be President Bush and his advisors, who were probably trying to just buy time and hold on to the very last minute and get out of Dodge while they can.
Let's find out what listeners think about this. Jim joins us, and he is in Whitewater this morning. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I'm against the Feingold resolution. I've got a son serving in Iraq, and I get very frustrated hearing this kind of talk. We're not a military family background, but your guest there even talked about his point of view. 70%, I keep hearing that number, 70% of the population doesn't support the war. I don't know where that number comes from. I know when I talk to people, they're positive about supporting my son. Now, that may be just, supporting the troops thinking and not being in favor of the war. But, that 70% figure, I think, gets pounded in our heads, and I don't know how accurate it is. I think, most of the population would probably say, look, whether or not we agree we should be here or not, let's make sure we do it right. And, if war was about voting or about, the masses and the population, we would have votes on this. This is why we elect politicians, and yet it gets all caught up in, whether or not they think they're going to be positioned right when they run for office. And, the reality is your guest, a political scientist, he knows that, the truth is, when's the last time we elected a senator to the White House? The senators especially get all caught up in positioning themselves for a future run, and then, we haven't had one elected to the White House forever. I wish they would just get on with, doing their job and not worrying about their own political expediency, and that's what I see a lot of these guys doing. And, it's frustrating as a parent, a child who's a young person who's serving there, and I'm sure especially frustrating to parents who have lost a parents or family members who have lost an individual there. You want to come out of this thing with something positive, and I think that that's going to take time. 20 years from now, we'll know whether or not any of this made any sense. And history, is a look backwards. Trying to look forward and figure out some of this stuff. This whole thing has been kind of messed up because of politicians getting involved. from the Bush administration on down. I mean, the soldiers have done their jobs there. Now we got the politicians trying to figure out how to, you know, make it look good for themselves.
All right. Thanks for the comments, Jim. And a lot of questions coming out of there, Joe Greco. First one I want to address is that 70% figure, because it was bandied about during this hour. And I don't know if you have any numbers at your disposal right now, but what is the American public stance right now in support of the war in Iraq?
I don't have those right at hand, but I believe it is fair to say that polling today is suggesting that in excess of 60% of respondents are saying that the war was a mistake to begin. I don't think there's such strong majorities at present calling for immediate withdrawal, and I think that's getting reflected in the Senate debate. The wording of such questions becomes all important in terms of producing fluctuations in the sort of the voter responses. So if it were, for example, were it to be worded, would you call for American withdrawal even if it means a genocide directed against one or another of the groups in Iraq? I think you'd get a majority against. The caller's point's very important, though. It is the... And this, I think, goes back to Cheryl's call, namely, why the high viscosity, why the slow movement and change of policy. I think part of it is that there is a sense of obligation on the part of members of the Senate to the service personnel who are there now, and also a sense that an early withdrawal, an acknowledgement of failure, means that the U.S. died in vain, the approaching now 3,200. And I think that must stay the hand of a senator, create a high level of reluctance. And I think it probably explains why the president is so reluctant to begin some sort of phased withdrawal. At the same time, someone like myself, then I try to weigh the sense of loss of those who have been killed against trying to do something to prevent even more from being killed. And that creates, I think, a certain caution certainly a member of the Senate.
And you heard in Jim's voice a level of frustration there, at least with the politics of the situation, with that process. And I don't know if there are any polls on that, what the American people think about that, but there's one person who thinks that the process is all messed up.
Well, democratic politics and war fighting it's a process that isn't all that elevating, isn't it? It's as Churchill said, it's pretty undesirable except compared to all the rest.
He did say that. Ron joins us now, and he is in Sparta. Hi, Ron.
Thank you. I support Mr. Feingold's action. Fact is, it reiterates what I mailed that I sent to him about 3 weeks ago and to Mr. Cole, or Senator Cole. And I am not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an American.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ron. And there we have one vote of support. Joe Greco for Russ Feingold. And before we go, we've got a couple minutes here before the top of the hour. I want to ask you where you see the debate in the Senate shifting now. We've got this new compromise that is on the table as of last night or this morning. What else do you see as this compromise is out there? It appears to have some viability to it. Is the debate going to center on that, or do you think there are more resolutions lurking out there that we're going to be hearing about in the next couple of days?
My own guess, and again, it's only a guess, and mm-hmm. things changing so quickly, guesses are the only thing anybody can offer. I would say, though, that a key conversation needs to take place between Senator Warner and Senator McCain. McCain and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina have an alternative proposal, which basically says that there's support for the escalation, but with some review and benchmarks over the next several months. That proposal, I think, is the proposal that has the best chance of getting sufficient support from Republicans to block the Warner-Levin Carl Levin proposal. So I would think that the line of discussion, I would not be surprised to see Democrats go to the Warner-Levin position. So then the key question is, can Warner pull enough Republicans away from the John McCain position? So that's where I would keep my particular eyeballs over the next week or so.
And who knows, in 6 to 8 months, as we talked about earlier, Senator Feingold's resolution could turn out to be awfully prescient.
I do believe there's a possibility of that.
All right, Joe Greco, thanks for joining us this hour. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Gene.
Joe Greco is a professor of political science at Duke University in Durham, and he's been with us for the past hour. We began the hour talking about a resolution from U.S. Senator Russ Feingold that would end funding for the war in Iraq, using Congress's power of the purse to redeploy U.S. troops out of Iraq within 6 months. And then we followed up with some news that has been breaking overnight and this morning regarding a new compromise resolution from Democrat Carl Levin and Republican John Warner. They have joined up on a compromise that would oppose the buildup of the troops that President Bush has proposed, while at the same time promising to keep funding for those troops intact. And so, as our guest said, we'll have to wait and watch and see how things turn out. But a lot of things developing on that front. If you'd like a copy of this hour's program, you can have one by calling the radio store at 800-747-7444 or just log on to our website. Karen Prager produced this hour and also provided us with on-air production as well. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm in for Joy Cardine this morning on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.